I always tell my close friends that it feels like I'm stuck in a glass box in the middle of a city. Everyone else is moving on, living, walking past me, and I'm just stuck, almost frozen in time. Buzzing in with a warm welcome to We're Not Done Yet. Whether you're navigating cancer or just cruising through life's ups and downs, I'm so happy you're here. This podcast is all about finding strength, laughing through the chaos, and supporting each other. Let's dive in and see where this journey takes us. You guys, I am recording pretty late tonight. I usually don't record this late. It's 12 a.m. and I decided I wanted to do an episode. I think I'm going to start recording my episodes super early or like really late at night because I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I am at this facility housing place for cancer patients and I like to record in this room that's a community space. It's for everyone to use, but I think it's the best place to record. And usually no one uses the space, but since it's in the middle or and near the lobby or other community spaces, it can be pretty noisy. And I don't like the audio to pick up all of those noises or like the elevator being used. I don't mind. I really don't care. But if it bothers you guys, then I do. So that's why I'm going to try to record now when there's not so much traffic going on. But anyways, in today's episode, I really just wanted to ramble and vent with you guys, and maybe you can all relate to how I'm feeling and how I've been feeling lately. And just a little, like, we're just on a call. I'm here with some Diet Coke. Okay, do not come at me. I don't care if it's unhealthy. I just felt like drinking a Diet Coke. I mean, listen, can you hear this? Yes, I have a nice glass of ice and a fresh Diet Coke. So whatever time you're listening to this episode, feel free to join me with whatever your drink of choice is. And let's just feel together and begin our little discussion for tonight. So yeah, today I just wanted to ramble about a few things. How dystopian life can feel when you're diagnosed and how time starts to feel like it's slipping away. As I mentioned earlier, I'm staying at a housing facility specifically for cancer patients. And from the moment I was diagnosed until now, my whole world has been shaped and surrounded by the diagnosis. Because of the way my treatments have gone from start up until now, all the surgeries I've had, and the fact that I live about 6 hours away from home, like my actual home is 6 hours away, I haven't really had the chance to return. And that takes a lot of mental and emotional strength, you guys. Don't even get me started on that. But it's strange how when you're deeply affected by something, even the people who really love you and support you, unfortunately, they can't fully understand what it feels like unless they've lived it themselves. I always tell my close friends that it feels like I'm stuck in a glass box in the middle of a city. Everyone else is moving on, living, walking past me, and I'm just stuck, almost frozen in time. And it's really ironic that I say that because the room that I'm recording in is literally a glass box. I'm not even kidding. I wish you guys could see it. But as I was saying, the one time I was able to go home, it felt surreal. My room was exactly how I had left it. My school bag, all the little trinkets from a recent trip, everything was just frozen in time. I remember thinking, like, what's the point of cleaning it? I think I just like barely picked it up because I thought this was going to be a quick doctor's appointment, maybe a week. That week ended up turning into a month, then 9. Then we just reached a year and we're still counting. So standing there in that room, I felt very emotional. Like I was in a stranger's space. It had only been 6 months since I'd last been there, but it felt years had passed. Because in many ways, they had. I was a completely different person. It's so strange how after being diagnosed, you start building all these new norms, life shifts, and sometimes it feels like no one warned you about how disorienting the shift can be. Now, with all that being said, lately, it's been rough. going through and passing graduation season, seeing all my friends graduate college. You guys, I am so incredibly happy for them. And if any of y'all are listening, you have no idea how happy and so much joy it brought to me seeing all the posts and videos. It made me so emotional because I'm like, wow, we really, life just happened so fast. Time has moved by so fast from high school up until now, like that we're graduating college. Again, I am so happy. Don't get me wrong, but I can't help, and I couldn't help but feeling a sense of envy and sadness, because if things had gone differently for me, I just think that could have been me too. Being someone who's faithful though, I know that the Lord's timing is right and I'll get there. I just have to remind myself that my circumstances are different and it will happen, not only when I'm ready mentally, but physically too, of course, which is very important. My health comes first. And I just want to remind anyone out there feeling behind in life, whether it's school or your career or just life in general, it's okay. We all move at our own pace. There's a quote I love, and maybe you've heard it a million times, but I was just reminded of it actually by an employee as I was recording this, and it's so true. It's the quote that comparison is the thief of joy. And right now, I'm learning to hold on to my joy, even if it looks different than someone else's. And you know what? I've also been learning how to applaud myself. Not too long ago, I posted a collage of photos on Instagram, just moments from over the past year. It was a little emotional putting it together. Every photo carried a memory, some joyful, some painful. It was moments from like the very beginning when I got diagnosed, then me starting chemo, me losing my hair, me buzzing my hair off, actually my nurse, surgery, and then like even up until Christmas, I think I was having like a fake snowball fight with my doctors. That was like a sweet little thing that the hospital did for patients who were in during Christmas. But anyways, yeah, I shared that post, not just for others, but as a way to celebrate myself, because I've realized how important that is to stop and actually honor your strength for the things I've accomplished, big or small, for the goals I've hit, even the quiet ones no one saw but me. I've just been through so much this past year, and I deserve to be proud of the strength and resilience it takes to keep going. Sometimes, especially when you're in a fight for your health, people look at you like, of course you're going to fight. It's automatic. You have that human desire to live. It's a given, but it's not. It's hard. It's hard to go through treatment after treatment, surgery after surgery. It's hard to hear words like reoccurrence. I never mentioned this before, but I was actually just 2 chemos away, 1 month away from ringing the bell, from being done with everything, until I heard the word reoccurrence. But yes, it's hard to hear all of that and go through all of that and still somehow choose to show up for your life. Still try to live as close to normal as you can, whatever that means anymore. That choice, that persistence, that's not small. It's not just physically draining. It wears on you mentally and emotionally in ways that words can't always capture. And if no one said it to you, let me be the one. That kind of endurance is worth celebrating. It's not about toxic positivity or pretending everything's okay all the time. It's about honoring the fact that you're still here and you're still trying and still rising again and again. And I just want to clarify this so my words aren't misunderstood. Fighting every day and choosing to keep going doesn't take anything away from those who've allowed themselves to rest. Because this journey, can't stress this enough, it's exhausting. It asks so much of you physically, mentally, emotionally. And for some, choosing rest was part of their strength too. Again, everyone's paths look different, but that doesn't make your presence any less powerful. Your lives, your stories, it doesn't. So I just wanted to make that clear because I don't want anyone to misunderstand my words and the way I feel about all of this. Just my message that this isn't a comparison. It's a reminder that whatever chapter you're in, fighting, healing, remembering your journey is valid and your emotions are too. So if you're listening to this again, going through something heavy, again, it doesn't have to be cancer, but grief, trauma, loss, the battle that's just left you changed, I want you to pause and say this to yourself. And I don't care if it sounds corny or if you guys come at me for thinking I'm corny, shut up. Okay. No, don't shut up. I want you to say this to yourself. I'm proud of me. You didn't just survive. You showed up. You kept going. And that is something to honor. Okay? You guys, I'm just going to be straight up with you. I keep having to cut a little bit because the Diet Coke is making my stomach say a few things. My stomach has its own opinions, but it's interrupting me, so I have to edit them out. Side note, speaking of Coke, that sounded like a very bad segue. Like, I was going into something else, but no, I've been binging a lot of TV lately. And I don't know if you guys watched The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, but I've been watching. I finished the second season. I watched the first season back, I think it was like in October. My nurses actually recommended the show to me. It was right after surgery, and I don't know if it was my first chemo treatment post-op, or if I was just in the hospital still like recovering from surgery or preparing to get discharged post-op. And my nurse recommended the show. She was like, you have to binge it. And I was like, I started the first episode and I was thinking, this show is not really for me. But I got through the first episode and I was instantly hooked. And I was so disappointed when the season finished. But then the second season just recently came out. And you guys, I binged that. I binged it and I binged it so quick. I've had so much free time because my counts aren't coming back up. My platelets have been super low. They're very sluggish. I've just reached that point of treatment where I've had so much chemo, they don't want to budge. So my recovery period got extended to see if they'll come back up on their own before we try alternative methods. And I've just been binging TV. I've been enjoying not having anything to do. I've been enjoying the boredom, I guess you could say, because it's rare that I get to just have an extra week of no appointments and getting to stay home. And I try to enjoy it. Like when I get bored or I want to go out, I'm like, just embrace not having to go to the hospital, embrace not having to labs. So I also binged the show overcompensating and I'm so mad. I am so upset that there was only 8 episodes. You guys, if you have not seen it, I highly recommend it. I've been saying, pisses me off so much lately because of the scary. You just gotta watch it. I don't want to spoil anything. It's such a good show. I just love the cast. It's literally the perfect cast. But only watch it if you're like 18 because it is a pretty, I guess you could say like graphic show. Just that's my only disclaimer, but it's really good. And if you guys have any shows, please reach out to me and recommend shows because I need something to watch. I know Love Island is coming out soon. Might watch that. I don't know. We'll see. But that's just my little side tangent. I love how that all started because of my stomach making noises. But again, the correlation, I don't know if y'all understood, but with The Secret Life of Mormon Wives, they don't drink coffee. Like their coffee is soda. This is just in the show. This does not address to all Mormons. This is the girls in this reality TV show. They don't drink coffee, so their vice is soda. They drink a lot of different mixed sodas. So it will be a soda base with creamers or syrups added into it. So now every time I crack open my own Coke, I just think of The Secret Life of Mormon Wives because they'll be like going under stress and they'll crack open a can. If it's someone like heading to the bar to take the edge off, and it cracks me up so much. I love it. TV has definitely been my distraction and my enjoyment lately. I don't know. I like go through these periods of where I just binge a whole bunch of movies and shows and I like really get into it. Like that's all I do all day. And I feel like it is when I have these long breaks or periods of recovery. I don't complain. I enjoy it. It's how I'm starting my summer off. I've even been going to the movie theaters. I have not been to a movie theater in such a long time. And recently, I went. When did I go? Oh, crap. About knocked over my entire setup. I went sometime in March or April. Yeah, March or April. And I went with my parents to go watch. It was a horror film. I can't remember what movie it was. A Woman in the Yard. Oh my gosh. So, little thing about that actually. That was the first time I've been to a movie theater since I was diagnosed. And if this is your first episode tuning in, little backtrack. The type of cancer I was diagnosed with is osteosarcoma, which is the type of bone cancer. And I was diagnosed with it in my right femur. And I've had two surgeries since then, since being diagnosed, to get up all in there and get stuff out, whatever. Okay, so I'm in a wheelchair, right? I've been on weight bearing and a lot has happened with my poor leg. So I have to watch movies in the accessibility area, the wheelchair area. And I am not someone who would usually watch movies so close, like that close to the screen. Because the only place for your wheelchair is like the front row, right? So I go with my parents to watch Women in the Yard, and we're sitting there up close and personal with the screen. You guys, I had my eyes closed majority of the movie because I cannot do that. I cannot watch another scary movie that close. I'm a little disappointed because there's two movies out that I really wanted to watch, but I don't know if I can do that again because it was a waste of money. I wasn't really watching the movie. It was too much. But then the second time that we went to go watch a movie, we watched Lilo and Stitch, and it was so cute. I love Lilo and Stitch. Very different, and I know there's been a lot of disappointment with it, but you know what? I just enjoyed it. My main reason why I watch it is for Stitch anyways. He reminds me so much of my dog, and I miss my dog a lot. I've been missing him. Reflecting on how I've been feeling lately, I've been feeling just a little bit sad because I miss my little pup, my little dachshund, Augie, so much. He's with my grandparents while I focus on treatment and getting better. But yeah, my little Augie is Stitch is very reminiscent of Augie, my little doxy. Love him. But yeah, I just plan on watching more movies. I'll probably watch one after I record this, despite it being pretty late. But lately, I've just really been trying to enjoy the things I want to do, just living at my pace. One of my close friends, she's actually in remission right now, and she's been doing the same. I crack up at the stuff she's up to. I call it living the free life because that's exactly what she's doing. And I joke with her and my sister all the time that this is like prison and just being stuck in this cycle of appointments and blah, 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 all of that. It's just like prison. So I always say I'm still in prison, just waiting to get out. But I love seeing her live out the things she's been dreaming about. She's like an adrenaline junkie, the complete opposite of me. That's just not me. I can't do that. Her idea of fun is the most, I don't know, fear-inducing things. My idea of fun is just like shopping. I don't know. But it's really inspiring to see her do all the things that she's been missing. And we've just really been taking control of our lives again. My entire friend group, all of us that have been fighting for so long and battling and having to deal with the torture of chemo. I think our presence with each other has just encouraged us to do that. I've just really been using this extra recovery time as a real opportunity to tap back into some of my hobbies and go out when I can. Maybe most importantly, to rest. I'm definitely not rushing things. Before, I'd always count down the days and think, okay, next cycle, let's go closer to the finish line. But this time it's different. I want to give my body the space it needs because this chemo that I'm on, it's been hitting differently. It's been hitting very differently. To get a little vulnerable with you guys, my last treatment was rough. I was on, I think, like day 3 or 4 of my infusion, and I still had 1 or 2 days left. I just broke down sobbing to my mom that I didn't want to do it anymore, that I couldn't take it, that it was a lot. And I felt really bad because I feel like a parent hearing that from their child cannot be easy, just that they can't do it anymore and that they, I guess you could say, throw in the towel. That thought of giving up, it just really crossed my mind, but I didn't. This chemo definitely doesn't get easier. It builds, it wears on you. My other treatments, I got used to them over time. I feel like they became more tolerable. But this one, it's heavier. I'm on IFOS and ETOP, etoposide and ifosfamide, yeah. And one of the biggest side effects, I think, of the IFOS, it's how much it messes with your mind and, I guess, your mental state or, like, your emotional well-being. It's just, it's not just physical anymore. It fuels everything else you're already fighting. So I'm taking this in rounds like a boxing match. That's what I tell my friends. I'm in the corner. catching my breath, getting ready for the next round because to just like back to back, can't do that. I'm trying to come up with little tricks to allow myself to really get through the next cycle without having those thoughts cross my mind, because I really did not like that those thoughts crossed my mind. That was definitely not me. That was the chemo speaking. And I don't want that happening again. So I was actually talking with my friend of ways that I could prepare for the next cycles and like little tricks. I was talking with some of the people on the floor who work with like child life and helping make your treatments go easier, just things that they can do. And I was like, actually, I could use some sticky notes. And my plan was to write like little quotes and affirmations and just stick them around the entire room to let pre-chemo B know that during chemo B is strong and she's got it, and all of the thoughts that she's thinking, that's not her thinking, that's the chemo. So yeah, definitely treating it like a boxing match. I'm dreading it, but I know I got it. I know I can do it. Hey guys, that's really all I wanted to ramble about today. I appreciate it. Appreciate you. I appreciate you for listening. And if there's anything I want to leave with you, it's that wherever you are, whether you're deep in your fight, in your healing season, or living your free life, as I like to say, you're allowed to honor your peace that feels right for you. You don't have to rush to prove anything. Your body, your mind, your soul, they deserve care. You deserve care. And celebrating yourself, your strength, your happy moment, your moments of rest, that's not selfish, okay? Part of healing, and that's part of living. So give yourself some grace. Celebrate the small wins. Let yourself laugh and cry. And whatever you're walking through, you're not walking alone, okay? Those hard moments, they're just a reminder that we're not done yet. Did I work that in? Did I work the title in? I hope so. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I'm proud of you. And I hope that after this talk we've had, you feel a little more proud of yourself too. I love you all, and I hope that you'll join me for the next episode. Bye!